If you'll just give me 23 minutes and 37 seconds. I'll make this brief for today. Because again, I really don't want to rush what I believe to be a word for all of us right now, and that is conquering fear. Conquering fear. I want to read again out of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 2. It says this. It says, "To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, and I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us," I like that it says us, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power," and King James has a sound mind. This particular translation says discipline. And when we talk about fear, last week I talked about it from some of the clinical side of fear, the emotional and physiological effects of fear and anxiety. I need to just give a couple of those points as we continue to move forward, reshare them with you again. One, fear, a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Some of you will remember I shared about a movie that I watched years ago called After Earth. And in this movie, it's Will Smith and his son are playing, and Will Smith's character is a character who's learned how to conquer fear. And so the whole premise of the movie is that the enemy that they're fighting is one the enemy can't see, but the enemy smells fear. So the enemy is able to destroy and kill the armies based on their fear. But once the character that Will Smith played recognized it was fear that they were drawn to, he was able to manage that fear, conquer that fear. So now he became a threat to the enemy. And so in the movie, he has to send his son on a journey so that they can be rescued. And he tells his son, "You're going to have to get to this beacon," which was miles and miles away. He says, "But you need to know this." He said, "The danger is real, but fear is a choice." The danger is real. Fear is a choice. Now, let's just take out the word danger and just say, the situation is real. But fear is a choice. What you're dealing with is real. But fear is a choice. Now, there's so many scriptures that I could speak to as it relates to that, and some of those we will look at. When we look at the emotional and physiological effects of fear and anxiety, this is what it says. Fear is an emotion induced by perceived danger or threat, which causes physiological changes and ultimately behavioral changes, such as fleeing, hiding, or freezing, excuse me, from perceived traumatic events. Fear in human beings may occur in response to certain stimulus occurring in the present or in anticipation or expectation of a future threat perceived as a risk to oneself. Just adding this in, because a moment ago we were just talking about joyful expectation of good. Sometimes you got to really check yourself. What is my expectation here? with what I'm dealing with, what I'm facing. Some of you are not aware that that song, I wrote that song years ago, but I wrote it as a result of Sylvia Henderson, who was here, Sylvia sharing something that her daughter said, who had been diagnosed with cancer, and they were trying to look at how to approach it. She asked her daughter, "How are you doing?" She said, "I have a joyful expectation of good." And based on that, I wrote that song. I was there at the hospital when the doctors came out, and they said there because they thought they were going to have to cut out part of a lung because of where they saw this mass. They said, "We don't know how this happened, but what the mass was not in the lung. It was like right outside it, so we could take that out without even touching the lung or anything." Come on, that's a good time. If Sylvia was here, I think she's over, but that's okay. Yeah, she's down there. But that's where that came from. It was out of the sense of, for me, let me write something that will help with expectation. Fear is closely related to emotional anxiety, which occurs as a result of threats that are perceived to be uncontrollable or unavoidable. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior such as pacing back and forth, abdominal pain, chest pain, fatigue, dizziness, insomnia, and headaches. It is the subjectively unpleasant feeling of dread or anticipated event. The reason why I feel that Holy Spirit is having me give this kind of balanced approach is because sometimes we're addressing something, but we're addressing it without the knowledge of what we're really dealing with. So Pastor Jamal and I were sitting in my office and was talking about this message, and he said, but I've always taught that fear is a spirit. And he quoted this scripture right here, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And I said to him this, I said, "Well, I understand that." I said, "But what we may need to do is really go back and look at the Greek and see how they came up with the word spirit." So let me just give you a few examples of what I'm talking about to help you understand. Because see, if every time we use the word spirit, we're really dealing with a spirit. Let me help you. Pastor Deborah, can you go to 1 Corinthians 4:21. 1 Corinthians 4:21. It has to do with the way Paul communicated things, okay? And how things are communicated in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 4:21. Okay, so look up there with me. Read it with me. "What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" So is gentleness a spirit? So let's go to Galatians 6:1. Go to Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1, read it with me. "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted." One more, 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, I believe that's it. First Peter 3, let's read it together. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So when you read that passage of Scripture, it's talking about the godly woman there. Okay, so I want to offer that to you, because when Paul is saying God has not given you a spirit of fear, he's not talking about that fear is a spirit. It's kind of like this. You know, I say, Pastor Val, she just has a gentle spirit. You ever say about, oh, she has such a sweet spirit. You're not talking about actual spirit on them. You're talking about, this is what Paul was speaking to with Timothy. He's speaking to Timothy about his disposition, his personality. And what he's saying to him is, listen, buddy, that's not where you need to be. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. One translation talks about timidity. You ever be around someone and they are just fearful? Just fearful. It has to do with what's happening in them internally. So that's what Paul is speaking to here. He's not saying a spirit of fear, because it's not, you don't cast out a spirit of fear. What you need to say is, you need to calm yourself. Okay? That's really what we're talking about. That's where the word discipline comes in. Love and discipline. You got to learn to discipline. You got to learn to manage what's going on the inside. So I want to get a little bit more of that in a minute. We also talked about Genesis 3, 1 through 10, where fear first showed up with Adam. That's where it came from. Fear came from Adam. He's connected to God, but the moment he disobeys God, separation. Now God comes looking for him. He's hiding. Why are you hiding? Well, we were naked. Who told you you were naked? And then he says to him, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So it's important, when we talk about conquering fear, we're not talking about taking authority over a spirit. We're talking about a disciplined place in our lives as to how we live out our lives that minimizes the anxiety and the fear. Is this making sense to you? Now, we really can live in that place. As a matter of fact, let me just give a couple more points here. I did say, what did I say, 23 minutes? And okay, y'all didn't take notes, so we good then. Okay, I could say anything, and y'all, I guess that's what he said. Glory to God. So when we talk about conquering fear, and what Paul is talking to Timothy about is, you're going to have to manage your emotions now. You're going to have to manage, listen now, you're not only going to have to manage your emotions, you're going to have to manage the information that's coming to you. Last week, we looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it has to do with Jehoshaphat and all of the people of God and three nations coming against them. They know they have no might to go against them. And it says this concerning Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. That was our takeaway from last week. I'm going to give you another takeaway in just a moment. He says, it says there that he turned to seek the Lord. He brought everybody together. He brought everybody together and all the people. says that Judah came and joined them. The animals, nobody ate. Nothing ate for 3 days. You know, that's a serious fast. That's a serious fast. Don't feed anything. Nobody eat for 3 days. We got it. We need some answers. And what the Bible helps us to understand is that he was the kind of leader that even though he was afraid, he had enough sense to turn and seek God. In 1 Samuel 17, it speaks of Saul, who was afraid, but Saul wasn't trying to seek God. The deliverance came from David, who sought God, lived in that place with God. So much so that when Saul offered his armor, he said, I can't do anything with that. He said, but what I do know, God delivered me from a lion and a bear. He gonna deliver this guy into my hands as well. There was something about David and his relationship with God that allowed him to see it differently. When we talk about conquering fear, I want to tell you that the closer you walk with God, the less likely you will be anxious and you will fear. As a result of Jehoshaphat and the people of God seeking God, the Spirit of the Lord comes and speaks to them through the prophets, through the prophet. And the word that came was, do not fear or be dismayed. Do not fear or be dismayed. Meaning, yeah, I know you're scared. I know you're afraid. I know you're anxious. But don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the fear. You can conquer it. You can take authority over your emotions, your thought life, your imagination concerning what you think is before you. Because that's what they're dealing with right here. And I don't know about you, but I sure have those moments, and I've had those moments where I'm having to pull in and pull down and bring into captivity thoughts so that I can walk in the place of victory over fear. One of the things that I've always said, not always said, I've said it at some point and we made note of it, is this. You see, faith is the neutralizer of fear. That's right. And it's the stabilizer of the unknown. Faith is the neutralizer of fear. Yes. And the stabilizer of the unknown. Meaning, the more you walk in faith and not by sight, not by just the things you hear, it will neutralize the fear and it'll stabilize the unknown, meaning I don't have to know that right now. I may not have to know that ever. Some of the things you think you need to know, you don't need to know. Word comes and says, do not fear, be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but it's God. Tomorrow, go down against them. Now, that's interesting because he's saying, well, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord, but you still got to go down there. Tells them where they're going to be and says, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Sometimes, that's all God is requiring of you. I need you to walk it out, but I got the fight. I got the battle. He gives them this word in order to bring order to the disorder going on inside them. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah, Jerusalem. Do not fear or be afraid. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Know that there will be times when you've got to face it. Yes. You've got to walk through it. Yes. But the wonderful thing about God is he's able to walk you through it, and you get on the other side of it without the smell of smoke. You're good. He gives them a word. You see, the power of the prophetic word is to help us navigate through times, like times when you find yourself getting anxious and on the edge of fear. You see, when God gives you a word, it's often given to adjust your perspective of a current situation and or adjust your perspective of an anticipated future outcome. Now, let me say that again. When God gives you a word, it is often given to adjust your perspective of a current situation and or adjust your perspective of an anticipated future outcome. So there's times when we are anxious, we are challenged, and God will bring a word to us. He'll bring a prophetic word to us. He'll bring a word of encouragement. He'll bring a word through someone that is there in order to help you with your current perspective, help you adjust your perspective. Because sometimes we think the outcome is going to be one way when God has already settled it. It's already done. Jesus, knowing that his time was coming to an end, began to speak some things to his disciples. Go to John 14. John 14, verse 25. You see, I am of the conviction you really can live free of fear.
Yes, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
But it takes some discipline. I said it takes some discipline.
Yes.
You can live free of anxiety.
That's right.
But it takes some discipline. So in John 14, starting at verse 25, it says this: "These things I have spoken to you, while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Now look what he says here. "Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." Now look at this. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be..." Talk to me. "Afraid, fearful." Jesus is saying to them, he's giving them a word to help them, and then says, "My peace, my peace, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives." And I believe that one of the takeaways here is that he's talking about the peace I give to you is a lasting peace. It's not situational. It's not circumstantial, meaning as long as the situation is going one way, I'm at peace. He's saying, no, my peace I give to you will last and get you through all of it. And then he says to them, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Let it be afraid," meaning that part's on you. That part is on me. I'm talking about conquering fear. I'm talking about you and I conquering fear. So I'm just going to go a couple more minutes here, and then I'm going to stop for now. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop for now. In Psalms 27, 1 through 6, it says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense or strength of my life. Whom shall I Be afraid, this particular translation says dread. When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. He's making a declaration here, y'all. He's saying, even though I've got folk coming after me, even though I've got folk running after me, I will not be afraid. Yes. I will not allow myself to be fearful. He's conquering fear. That's good. Yes. I will not be overtaken by fear. My heart will not fear. It says, though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. He's saying, in the midst of all of that, this is where my confidence is. With all this is going on, this is where I choose to be. This is where I choose to live. And as a result of that, I won't fear. I won't be afraid. It's manageable. You can conquer it. You can walk above it. You can walk right through it. Psalms 34, verse 1. Go there real quick. I really am almost done. Who was that that laughed? Okay, Donna, I see. I feel. Yeah, I need to get it in now. And I need you to know now, I'm going to be picking this up on Wednesday, so y'all need to get out here on Wednesday. Yes. Okay? Psalms 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord. My.
Come
on. I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times, at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He's saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Jehoshaphat, he sought the Lord and he answered him, and he delivered me from all my fears. David is saying, in the midst of them trying to kill me, take my life, my confidence is in this. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. There is something about having that close relationship and being intimate with God that will shut down fear every time. God knows our heart. He knows what you and I are dealing with. He doesn't have a problem with that. We need to be able to bring it to him, take it to him, and watch him work. Watch him work. Watch him work. I hope that you're able to see the common thread here. David is writing and says, I will not fear. I will not be afraid. Come on, say it. I will not fear. I will not be afraid.
Glory to God.
My worship life in God has always been my safe haven. It's always been what's got me on the other side of every challenge. Be it financial, be it physical, no matter what. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm teaching here, because this isn't about I've arrived, so I'm trying to tell you. What I'm doing is I'm telling you how I do it. Over and over and over. So when we sing songs like, I won't be silent, I won't be still. Praise is my weapon. My strength is in his will. I will live and not die. I will fight. I will win. That's me dealing with the fear and presenting it to the body and saying, this is how we get through this. This is how we get through this pandemic. This is how we get through this COVID stuff. Some of you might have got the email where Calvin Noel, who was with us recently, released a 10-minute worship video this morning at 9 o'clock. Did any of you get a chance to see it yet? A few of you? You need to support Calvin. Calvin decided in doing this one, he recorded a song that I wrote years ago. I titled the song, I Will Always Love You. He and I talked about it this week, and he said, can we release it as There Is No Place? I said, absolutely. The reason why I'm bringing that up to you is because I want to give you the story behind the song to help you understand what I'm talking about right here. In conquering fear. It was in the late 80s when God opened the door for me to come off my job working for a labor union to devote my time to full-time ministry, if you will, you want to use that term. And someone had sown a significant amount of funds into the ministry so that could happen. As a matter of fact, I had received a prophetic word that God's going to open the door for you to come off your job. You're not going to have to take a cut in pay, and God's going to launch you. And that's what he did. But it's like, okay. So, just know that oftentimes God gives you just enough to get you to move. So we launch out. 6 months later, the monies that we had were pretty much spent in different areas. The person that had sown that significant amount was gone, just disappeared. It was at the end of the year, and I have this discipline that I still try to hold to, and that is the last few days of the last week of the year, I try to shut in. Become more of a push to do it now with the responsibilities that we have in terms of even with the embassy. But I've done that leading up to New Year's Eve. And I shut in my house, either in a room or whatever, just me and the Lord, and come out New Year's Eve. This past New Year's Eve, we were at the hospital with my mother-in-law. But in the late 80s, I found myself in this situation, not knowing how I was going to provide for my family. Had appliances breaking down. In this house we lived in, had an attic, and the attic was somewhat finished. That's how the owners had remodeled it. And I said, I'm going to the attic, and I'm staying there till New Year's Eve. It's a couple of days before. Now, I had pressing things in my head. But what I knew was, like Jehoshaphat, I got to turn to the Lord. Because I don't know what to do. And I'm in that attic. And while in that attic, I began to just seek God and worship. And I had my Bible and I had my keyboard. I think I had headphones. This was in the late 80s, in a place where I'm trying to manage the anxiety of what's before me. And I sit there and I begin to sing for the very first time, "There is no place I'd rather be than here with you, my Lord. For in my heart, there is a longing to love and know you more. All that I have, I lay at your feet to serve you as my greatest joy. I will always love you." Worship and adore you. I will always love you, Lord. That was birthed in the midst of a very trying time for me. It was out of that time and spending that time in the presence of the Lord that he graciously led me through the next couple of years, taking care of me, taking care of my family. And today, Calvin chose that song out of all the songs he could choose. He's a writer himself. To let that be the one that he offered up in what he believes God's called him to do now. Last week, the takeaway was turn to the Lord and seek God. I want to tell you this. The takeaway for this week is find those who can stand with you. Because back then, I had believers in a team who stood with me. Keith was one of them who walked with me, held me up, prayed us through. Because the challenge is real. But fear is a choice. Amen. Hallelujah.